You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Hey, everybody out there, welcome to this week's episode of Zach on Film. Boy, do we have a short, weird one for you today. Schedules got mixed up this week on getting to watch Mad Max on Thursday evening so we can get that show out to you on the normal Friday release date because sometimes my job requires me to work late on Thursday, specifically 2 times out of the month. And that one of those times of that month landed on this week. So we kind of scratched our head and didn't know what to do. And pretty much we were recording, you know, the Major Spoilers podcast, the top 5 on Tuesday, and I started talking about 50 Shades of Grey. And we just pretty much recorded and talked for about 20 minutes as a placeholder because we knew we were going to get a show out otherwise this week. So we talked. I'll touch on that later after you listen to this conversation about the upcoming schedule for our shows. But this is still a fun conversation. I talk about my disappointment in 50 Shades of Grey and where I thought it went wrong and you know, how I thought it could be better after I watched it this last week. And then we talked about a lot about documentaries, actually. We talked about, Stephen talked about what he'd been watching and some of the stuff I touched on, and Matthew had a suggestion as well. Kind of, and we talk about it in the show. We talk about we really need to do an episode just on documentaries because it's something we enjoy as a whole. I think everyone when we were on the show enjoys documentaries. We just never really talked about them because we always focused on the narrative film style. Even though we, you know, documentaries are out there and they're awarded awards just along with the big people at the Oscars and film festivals all over the world. And they're one of, I really enjoy documentaries. I watch them all the time. So, I guess we'll get your thoughts on that. There's certainly something we want to do. I don't know what's going to happen, but look for that in the future. So, here's this week's episode of Zach on Film, and I'll be back a little bit after that to talk about, I think, what we nailed down for our coming schedule.
So, Zach, I hear you watched 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, I just watched it last night. And here's the thing. There's some good things about it, and there's some bad. There's a lot of bad things about it. I think it deserves its low rating it has. And right now, I just kind of got skewered with reviews. The thing is, I finished watching it, and I said, you know, this is kind of like a Michael Bay movie. It's like, I should have known what I was going to get before I went in.
You should have known better, Zach.
And, but here's the thing is like, this was a movie catering to an audience that read a book that excited them in some manner, right? And sure, it does nail that. And we did watch the unrated version, which I found out it's only like 3 minutes of extra footage or something. Mm-hmm. And it kind of had a worse ending. And it does deliver on the sex, right?
Yeah.
And by deliver on sex, it's like, here's some sex.
Sure.
And it's like, it's kinky because there's this whip thing and there's rope. And that's, I mean, that's cool if you like that, and that's fine. But it's like, this is, there it is. Like, it didn't do anything besides show people have sex. I mean, that is, you know, hot and steamy in some aspects, but it's like they didn't do anything that made it more steamy.
Sure.
The ending, spoilers, it kind of ends because, you know, he has this, you know, it's dominant submissive relationship and he wants to punish her and they haven't really agreed on doing it. She's like, well, just do it. So he takes a belt and like hits her over her rear end like 6 times. And she's crying. She's upset at the very end of it. And she leaves and walks out because it's like, why does this? She doesn't understand where he's coming from with like, this is the thing they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I understand that that's the tension of the relationship. But it's like, it was the most flat, boring thing in any of it I'd ever seen. It was just so slow. He'd be like, hey, Rodrigo, what do you want to do today? Now pause. Don't answer for 30 seconds. Now please respond. And then I'm going to wait another 15 seconds before I respond.
I'm going to go hang out at the graveyard. Has that show come out yet? I don't know. the top five where I talk about hanging out in graveyards.
No, it does not.
Okay.
It was just...
Not for months.
Months from now.
We were talking about it today. I said, if you wanted to plot out the rise and fall of this movie, it looks like someone just died, but they had like one heartbeat. And then they just kept on dying because it is just flat across the board.
You know, there is an art to a good sex scene. There are movies that promise a lot of titillation, mm-hmm. like 50 Shades of Grey. And then, you know, when all you do is put naked people on screen in a movie, that's actually not as exciting. When you do it in pornography, then that's exciting enough because that's what people are going in to see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
But when you do it in a movie... You kind of have to carry through the themes of the mm-hmm, movie. You mm-hmm. have to make it stylistically interesting in some way. And if you just show it, then that doesn't do anything for you.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I saw this scene the other day. And it was like, okay, well, I'll watch these two people getting it on, right? Mm-hmm. But I was totally taken out of it because the lighting was probably the best lighting I have ever seen.
Nice.
I mean, I was like, oh, look at the light where it's coming from over there, and look at the color that they're using, and look how the color complements the color of the skin. Look at how the light hits here. And then on top of that, the photography was really good. It wasn't like hacky gonzo stuff. I was just like, first time I ever tried to find out who was the DOP
right.
of one of those scenes. And I was like, whoa. This was really, really, really well done. I was just surprised.
By the way, I'm not even gonna say.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was gonna say not necessarily what you want to do is type into into a search engine sex scene DP.
Yeah.
Not gonna get what you thought you were gonna get. But absolutely, I think since I probably haven't talked about An American Werewolf in London in the last mm-hmm. 3 seconds, I think that movie has an excellent sex scene.
Yeah,
starts
yeah.
in the shower, moves mm-hmm. to the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Like they do, it's great. You don't necessarily expect it, but it's there and it's quick and it shows you exactly what you want to see.
Yeah,
and then it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, there are some that are interesting but weird. I don't know if you guys have seen Sea of Love. That one has like a mm-hmm. very intense sex scene, but. Cool. Some of the blocking is super weird. And it is just kind of these two people going at it, which is cool. It's like these two people have sex like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird, but it's fine and it's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's your bottom line then on this 50
See, there's so
sack?
There's so much that was wrong with this movie, and I will put legitimately 90% of the blame on Universal for giving E.L. James just any decision she wanted to make.
Control, right?
She could.
She's on the second movie. Her husband's right in the next movie.
She could do anything. And it is clear from reading stories on set to watching this film, is like she ruined this movie. Because I know the climactic ending, she was supposed to say there, she's leaving his apartment after he punished her and he's chasing her, and the director's, I can't remember her name, idea was she was going to say their ultimate safe word to get him to stop. And she's like, I'm out of here. She said, no, you can't do that. She just has to say no. She just gets, I'm like, and you just feel it like, oh, it's there.
Yeah.
And they, cause it's like, they say specifically,
they build
these
up to
are
it,
your two safe words, yellow and red. He makes him repeat her one time before they actually start doing stuff. What are your safe words? Yellow and red. Never. He's like, okay. You establish that for absolutely no reason. And here's the other problem. Why she is 100% to blame with this movie is because they used the lines from her book as the dialogue, and they are horrible. There is a moody scene. She's trying to understand why he likes his sex this way, his relationships this way. She doesn't understand. She's never been exposed to this. She's trying to explain. And they're in Washington, so everything's already, you know, cloudy and moody the whole time. He just, they're having this fight, and he just goes over and puts his hands on on his mantle. He looks out in the, out of his huge glass window in his penthouse. He goes, "I'm just 50 shades of fucked up." He's just like, "What?
Jeez.
You didn't even use the whole title of your movie."
Yeah.
Actually, that was just, going to be the title of the movie.
It was just
Plus, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't That's not something people say.
It's not a saying.
People say the saying "shades of gray."
Yeah.
So, and his last name is Gray. Mm-hmm. By the way, you guys see my Tumblr post about this, where like the translation
of it
sounds like like when they translate it into Spanish, because they clearly didn't read the book and figure it out. The translation into Spanish is like 50 Shadows of Smith, like just because Gray's not.
Yeah.
It's not the same word, but they kept the name because it's a last name.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. So there's a scene where they go to Georgia, right? You've been down in the South before. It's hot and sunny.
I lived there for many years.
They make mention of how hot it is. There's one, how hot and steamy it is down there in the summer. And she goes down there to visit her mom. Old Mr. Gray shows up, and they're going to go take a flight on this glider plane. That's cool. It's a rich, cool guy thing to do.
Sure.
Guess what? It looks like they're back in Seattle because they just take a blue wash and just wash everything over in blue. But they're talking about how hot it is in Georgia. I'm like, this is just bad.
Blue is hot.
So something you might enjoy, Zach, here's a movie that I watched just the other night and got a big kick out of it. Just brand new released on the iTunes. It's called What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a vampire documentary, and it's a comedy. Mm-hmm. And it stars Jermaine Clement, that you guys may know from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah.
So he plays one of the main vampires. But the vampires in this story range from 8,000 years old to someone that just got turned a couple of weeks ago. And he's kind of a douche.
Mm-hmm.
And the vampires all live together and room together. And they're trying to figure out how do we cope with our lives when this guy is kind of screwing up our action.
Our vampire-ness.
And some of them are totally... You know, they're obviously totally out of touch with what's going on in society, even though they do go out at night and try to party, but they have no idea what technology is. And when technology is introduced, they're like, whoa, this is the internet. And they can, you know, they can watch a sunrise instead of, you know, actually being exposed to the sunlight.
Sure.
And of course, there are some zombies in there and there's werewolves in there, and it all takes place in New Zealand. But I kind of got a tickle out of watching this thing, because it's not like your it's not, it's not the other vampire movie that I keep telling people to watch, Afflicted, which is a great found footage movie. But it is a very funny take on vampires, and it's so well done that I would recommend you guys go see What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, and I think Ashley Victoria Robinson did a review of it on our website.
That's right, she did, and it's very good. I enjoyed it very much. And then there are some documentaries that I have in my queue that I'm very much looking forward to watching. I almost watched Misery Loves Comedy today. This is where a lot of comedians sit down and talk about what it's like to be on the road and, you know, why sometimes their lives are so depressing. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to this other one that I stumbled across called Genius on Hold. It's a documentary about Walter L. Shaw, who was the inventor of touchtone dialing, the speakerphone, voice recognition. He did all of this in like the 1940s or before. But like evil corporations do, he didn't get any of the patent monies from this. And so he went to go work for the mob.
Nice.
There's a joke in there.
I don't know, but it's like, I can't wait to see this documentary. And the other one that I'm really looking forward to is Winning, the Racing Life of Paul Newman, that takes a look at not Paul Newman, the actor, not Paul Newman, the philanthropist, but Paul Newman, the race car driver. So basically from age 50 to 75, it looks at his life as a race car driver. There's some great interviews in here. I mean, Robert Redford makes a rare appearance to do an interview for this. Jay Leno is in there. Tom Cruise makes a quick appearance. And then, of course, all these racing legends pop up to talk about why was Paul Newman so driven to be, pun intended, why was he so driven to be a race car driver when he was on top of the world with his acting? Why would he put his acting career in jeopardy with one accident that could kill him on the racetrack? And why he, you know, one of the most fascinating parts about this from just listening to people talk about it is that he would put acting on hold. They're like, well, we need to shoot this movie in such and such a time period. He's like, no, can't do it because I've got to go race. And if you want me, then you'll have to wait until this racing circuit is done, and then I'll come be in your movie. So I cannot wait to see this. It's about an hour and 20 minutes.
Patrick Dempsey did that same thing.
Patrick Dempsey, that's I think they're saying that's one of the reasons why he's walked off of Grey's Anatomy.
And he's that and the fact that ABC was paying him $11 million a year.
Yes, and so he's actually interviewed in this movie too.
Have you guys watched I Know That Voice?
No, but
yes,
I think
that
I
is
should.
That is the voiceover.
Yeah, the voice actor documentary, and it has like everybody. It has you know, Bender, Judy Jetson, Twilight Sparkle, like all of those guys are in it.
Weirdly,
halfway through, it devolves into explaining why it's okay that John DiMaggio voices a black guy. And then, like, later on, I realized that I think it's produced by John DiMaggio. So he just, like, threw it in there so he can do it.
He's one of the people that I think is heavily involved in it.
Yeah. But other than that, it's actually great because, if nothing else, a lot of these guys do the voices on camera.
Oh, that's fun.
So you get to see the person who does this weird voice, like the guy who does Porky Pig nowadays, right?
Right.
And it's just like, it's weird to hear him talk like a normal person and then do the Porky voice. And, you know, the same thing goes for everybody.
Yeah. Another documentary that I just finished watching is called Art and Craft. And it is about this guy who, Mark Landis, who makes these reproductions that are look very authentic of famous paintings. You say he's a forger, but he doesn't go and try to sell the paintings. He actually gifts them to museums and to universities and stuff. And it doesn't come outright and say that he gets joy and pleasure from duping these people that are supposed to be really smart, but it's very much implied that that's what he enjoys the most is fooling people into thinking that they have something very expensive, and then they put it on display as this thing. So then on the flip side, there's this guy who used to work at a university's museum or an art gallery who got fired shortly after they accepted one of these paintings, and he started to expose what was going on. And his mission is he's trying to follow Landis around and figure out what his story is. Mm-hmm. And it's really very weird because it looks at the psychology of both people. One of them why is he driven to bring Landis down? And the other one who actually has been diagnosed with some mental problems, Landis has been. But it's very, very good just looking at this. At this idea of, well, is he breaking the law? Mm-hmm. Is he not breaking the law? Those kinds of things. So it's Art and Craft. It came out in 2014.
Interesting. We're going to have to talk about documentaries, like take a show and talk about them. Because it's not something we've never watched one in the main run of the show. We haven't really touched on them now. But really, if I just have a spare chunk of time, I scroll through more documentaries to see what new has popped up in that, then more feature film stuff, because there's an art to making a doc that you don't see in a feature film, and it's really interesting. You can dive down deep into a subject matter. So it's something we should totally do because there's been some good stuff that I haven't watched yet.
One for you, Zach. It's from 1975. This is right on the heels of Orson Welles' 100th birthday. If he were still alive, he'd be 100 years old this past week. They're also interestingly trying to complete one of his final films that he never. It's all shot.
Yeah,
it's not a Kickstarter campaign. It's an Indiegogo campaign, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to finish the film. They're trying to edit it and get distribution and everything.
Yeah, I just heard that on NPR the other day.
Looks fascinating. It's got John Ford in it. It's got Peter Bogdanovich in it and a bunch of other people. Which
film?
What is it called? Something the Wind.
Something Whispers in the Wind.
Yeah, Whispers in the Wind
or something like that.
Yeah.
Is it the Man of La Mancha thing?
I don't remember.
No. It's not that.
He died while making it, and they hadn't finished it yet, and they're trying to finally get through. It's like his friends or something trying to finish it.
So here's a movie that I want you to watch. It's called F for Fake from 1975. It is Orson Welles. doing a documentary. It's kind of a documentary. Someone pointed out online not too long ago that they're like, oh, this is Orson Welles doing vlogging before the internet even came about, because it's very much him telling a story and then diverging off of a topic and then coming back around again. And it's all about how do people get lied to through art forgery. So it kind of ties into art and craft a little bit. But it's really, really good, and I can't tell you anything more than that except that Orson Welles does a magnificent job in this thing. I was like, okay, as documentary, I'll sit and watch it for, you know, just a little bit. And before I know it, it's about an hour and a half long. The movie was over, and I was like, I sat here for an hour and a half, and I didn't even realize it was that long. It does move a little slow in places, but the three stories that are told are perfect.
Yeah.
And it really comes into this idea of who's getting whose eyes pulled over, you know, who's getting the wool pulled over whose eyes, and what does it mean to tell a story, and what does it mean to lie to people, and where does that line cross, and what is forgery, what is art forgery, and they go and he interviews a guy. One of the main stories is a guy who's an art forger from the 70s who's very, very well known, and how does that play into it? But it's a really, really good movie. It's the Criterion Collection, so I know you'd appreciate that, Zach.
Is it Wilmer DeOrie?
What's that?
Wilmer DeOrie, the art thief or forger?
I don't remember who it is in the...
something like that.
Yeah, Cador is his name. No, that's you're right. You're right. Hori, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of fascinating to look at that. And yeah, we can do a whole thing on documentaries. Like, I got a whole list.
I have one that I think you should watch, Zach. And I think you're going to say, why should I watch this? Because I don't know anything about the subject matter. But it's one of those documentaries that can actually drag you into the subject matter. From 1998, Hitman Hart Wrestling with Shadows. It starts out as a documentary of the world heavyweight champion, and it gets you actually, you know, behind the scenes of wrestling and the craft and the show of it all rather than the actual buying into it. But then it ends with something that is basically, in wrestling terms, it's the equivalent of kind of your massive, huge, terrible blow-up moment. It's like the Heaven's Gate scandal at United Artists, what's called the Montreal screw job, where they think the heavyweight champion is quitting, and he's like, look, I'll give up the belt. I'm not going to lose it in Canada. And then things happen, and it gets really, really, really ugly, and these guys happen to be there to record it all. It's really, really fascinating.
I didn't know there was a movie about it, because I remember there was a Radiolab did an episode about that. I recognize the
Wrestling, like Wrestling with Shadows
or something. Yeah, it was three or four weeks ago, yeah.
And it shows you what happens immediately afterwards when Brett gets backstage and gets face-to-face with Mr. McMahon. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's a rough story to watch, but man, it's powerful.
The Radio Lab is very, very good. If you guys haven't listened to that, so all right. Anything else?
I just got to say one more thing on 50 Shades of Grey is that one penis. We can't get one penis in there. I mean, even an unrated version. Are you kidding me right now? That's the premise of your book/movie. Not even a penis. I was disappointed. It was so upsetting.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point, right?
Yeah, it was just like, I don't even know. It's just stupid, like, rating bull crap, sexuality. Like, it's just like, I've been so disappointed. I was like, you have an opportunity to tell a better story, to cater something, to be better than other stuff, and you just squander opportunities. It's so disappointing.
50 Shades of Grey is just, like, such a magnificent counterexample, you know? Like, people are like, anytime they're like, oh, the studio meddling, that's what ruined this movie. But it's like, just look at 50 Shades of Grey. They did everything exactly the way the author wanted, and it turned into 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. All right.
But that's it. I mean, if it helps set the mood for your nice evening, I suggest doing it. But God, it was just disappointing. Not as good as I was hoping. The first trailer I saw about the film, like, oh, well, this seemed, they have a, redoing a Beyonce song, some nice editing, some stuff. I can get behind this.
Oh, I got one more thing. Can we talk about one more thing?
Sure.
The Loft. Have you seen the trailers for The Loft?
I don't know what it is.
The Loft is like James Marsden, right? Cyclops.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And a bunch of other cool guys basically get this loft. where they basically have can do whatever they want. They have sexy times and stuff. And like somebody like a girl is dead in it all of a sudden, right? And they're like, what are we gonna do? And I'm just watching this trailer and like one of them is like, what if our wives find out and stuff? And I'm just like, I am so interested in watching that movie to see if it could somehow possibly actually make these clear douchebags sympathetic, right? It's like, here's a bunch of rich white dudes who get an apartment so they can screw people who is not their wives. And like, how are we supposed to like relate to this? And they're like, this is life and death. It's like, yeah, but it's the life and death of like the huge jerk.
Yeah, yeah. It stars Carl Urban, James Marsden, Wentworth Miller.
Yeah, Eric, Captain Cold Stone Street. And Judge Dredd are in this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I have seen parts of that somewhere.
Interesting. So you haven't seen it yet?
I don't think it's out yet. I think it's out yet.
Comes out.
But I'm just like,
says, released January 2015.
You know, speaking of sexy movies, like I saw this and I'm like, who is this aimed at?
Okay, so must not be. Interestingly, it's got a 6.3 rating over at the IMDb. I don't know what it's got on the Rotten Tomatoes. But came out January 30th, 2015. Budget of $14 million. Opening weekend, $2 million. Gross as of now, just under $6 million.
So it's already out?
Yeah.
Wow.
And apparently not, any good either. So
Rotten Tomatoes says 13%.
Oh, there you go. You got to watch that movie then.
Oh, maybe like it was a small release and now DVD time, maybe.
Oh, maybe. Because I only saw the trailer because...
hasn't even made its budget back yet.
YouTube threw it at me when I was watching something.
Yeah.
So maybe it is. Maybe it's out on DVD.
Sometimes watching those really low number movies are fascinating just for no other reason than seeing how bad it can be.
Well, then I suggest watching 50 Shades of Grey because it is laugh out loud. Like, what in the world are they doing right now? Because it is just, the dialogue is just insane. If you don't want to watch that, watch the honest trailers for 50 Shades of Grey. They nail it. It's so funny. It's so good. So do that.
Oh, 50 Shades of Grey has a better rating than The Loft.
Wow.
It's got a 25% rating at the Rotten Tomato.
That means that one out of four people thought it was awesome.
And those are the
critics.
The critics rating. Yeah. The audience score is 44%.
Wow.
And so I hope you enjoyed that quick conversation. I want to know, have you watched 50 Shades of Grey? Did you have the same problems with it that I did? Did you enjoy the film? Did you like it? I know Aubrey said she thought it was okay. She thought the book was better, but, you know, thought the movie was decent. But I want to know what you guys think. Like Steven said right at the end there, it does have like a 40% positive rating on Rotten Tomato. So while that's certainly rotten according to their scale, a lot of movies came out last year that had bigger budgets that had less than that. So, you know, to each their own. Mileage may vary, as we say around here. So we talked after the recording about what we're going to do, and I think what might end up happening is next week will be double episode bonanza, with us releasing Mad Max potentially earlier in the week, and then still getting an episode out on Friday, because we really want to stick to this week. We don't want to really wait a whole week to get our thoughts on the recent releases out to you. We want you to enjoy those as soon as possible. So I think that's kind of where we landed. I'm going to watch it sometime. I don't know, maybe Sunday or maybe Monday, actually. Watch Mad Max, record on Tuesday. Maybe get that out Wednesday or Thursday. And then should be watching Poltergeist or Tomorrowland. We'll probably watch Poltergeist because Steven has this fascination of me just probably peeing myself in the theater, I think. And then that'll be out that Friday. And we'll just keep rolling along. I think we might then do... I think there's a down week after that. And then there's so many movies. I think Entourage is the first weekend of June. So that's something to look forward to if you've watched that show. So I hope you guys are enjoying what we're doing this summer, looking at the movies. It's pretty much the exact opposite of what we did for 2 years on Zach on Film, where we looked at all the old films. Now we're looking at the films pretty much an hour after they come out. We are talking about them. So I hope you guys are enjoying that. Hit me up with your thoughts. I guess with this way we're doing it,
our Mad Max. You guys can get your thoughts in about that film. Heard really good things about it. Really excited to see it. You can get your thoughts in there and have them read on the show. How can you do that, you ask? How can you get your thoughts read on the show? Well, I'll tell you. You could, if you could sum up your Mad Max experience, 140 characters, you can shoot me a tweet. My Twitter is @ZWolfWolf with 2 O's. Of course, you can send me an email for those longer thoughts at zach@mitchplores.com. Or we'll put a official Mad Max thread up on the Zach on Film subreddit, reddit.com/r/ZachOnFilms. You can give your thoughts there. We can get some banter back and forth as well and get your thoughts read on the show when that comes out. So that is it for this week. Next week, it should be crazy, crazy movie time with a couple episodes released, so hope you're looking forward to that. But we'll see you next time on Zach on Film.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.